Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. The picture of Jesus as a shepherd with his lambs is such a loving and a tender one. May God bless our time in his word today. It is Jesus who said, "I am the Good Shepherd." Jesus, as our Good Shepherd, you know each one of us by name. You call us, but often we do not listen to your voice. Instead, we often listen to our own voice, or the voices of temptation. And so we ask, dear Shepherd, listen to us as we confess our sins and snatch us back from Satan and our sinful flesh. We pray, Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have sinned against you with my thoughts, my words, my actions. I deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins and sincerely repent of them. And for the sake of my Savior Jesus, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus grants you full pardon of all your sins. And he commissions you to go forth as a blessing to all people. May his Spirit abide in you and give you new freedom and the power to live for your Good Shepherd. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Good Shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your house forever. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today is from the book of Acts, chapter 20. The risen Christ is our Good Shepherd. We begin reading at verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is the word of God. And we turn then to our Old Testament lesson and the New Testament lesson. The Old Testament prophecy is Psalm 23. The New Testament fulfillment is John chapter 10, our favorite picture of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The prophecy goes on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Jesus says in the gospel, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep. The prophecy from the Psalms reads, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And Jesus says in the John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. And the psalmist goes on, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says in John 10, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is God's Word. And we confess our Christian faith. I believe in God, our Lord and Father in heaven, who made us the crown of his creation. He preserves us with every good thing that we have before him in peace and in joy. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son from eternity, who became a man for us sinners, redeemed us from Satan's power with his holy precious blood, rose from death, and made us his own to live with him now and forever. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who draws us to our Savior by the gospel, keeps us united in the one true faith, forgives our sins, and at the end of the world will raise us up from death to eternal life. I believe in the triune God. Amen. The word of our God that we turn our attention to then is the lessons that we just heard, the three lessons from the book of Acts, from John, and from the Psalms. We get to sit down with three famous shepherds from the Bible. From our lessons, you probably can figure out who those are: Paul, John, David. Officially, their titles were the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, and King David. But by their words, their works, all three of them were pastors. And what does the word pastor mean? It means shepherd. These three shepherds will tell us what it meant for them and what it means for us to have Jesus as our good shepherd. We start, first of all, with the Apostle Paul. Paul's words in our Acts lesson came at the end of his third missionary journey. He was probably at a beach in the city of Miletus, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The Apostle Paul had asked the elders from the nearby city of Ephesus, where there was his large Gentile congregation, to meet him here in Miletus to save him some time. The Apostle Paul was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost with the mother congregation, and to report on his ministry that was going on among the Gentiles. These elders, pastors, were members of a very large Christian congregation there in Ephesus, made up mostly of Gentiles. And Paul wanted to report back to the mother congregation of what was going on in the church among the Gentiles. And this, no doubt, was also the last time that Paul would see these fellow pastors, the leaders of the congregation. The heart and the core of his message is that the Good Shepherd leads us. I read it earlier. I'll read verse 32 of Acts one more time. Paul says, "I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The Apostle Paul uses an unusual but a very beautiful expression, that it is God who leads us with the word of grace. What is grace? Grace, G-R-A-C-E, equals getting rich at Christ's expense. Grace is the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Grace covers every sin. Sins that you can't seem to forget, God does. The sin that is in your past has no record on your future. Forgiving is amnesia. There was a movie once where a woman got into an accident and forgot who her husband was. Understand this the right way, but that was a good thing. Do you think you'd get along better with your spouse if you would forget some of the things he or she did? And not just your spouse. That would be true with anyone. That's grace. That's what God does with his kids. That's what Jesus does with his brothers and sisters. The cross gives amnesia. It fills us with love. And loving is forgiving. Grace. Getting rich at Christ's expense. Grace is why you stand up and meet God's standard of perfection. Your Heavenly Father looks at you and he sees a perfect child. Grace means God's love you just the way he made you. Grace assures you that God has a plan for your life and he's going to lead you every step of the way as he carries out that plan. He will be with you every step of the way. When Satan and his savage wolves attack you, God's grace is sufficient for you. The devil and those savage wolves will distort the truth. They will speak lies, distorting the gospel, trying to indicate to us that we need to do a little bit better. We need to do a little bit more. God's grace points us to the cross on Good Friday. God's grace, we rely on Easter's empty tomb. Jesus says, it's finished, paid in full, it's done. And that empty tomb assures us that God accepted that payment in full. The Good Shepherd points us to his word. And Jesus leads us. And as Paul writes, he will give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Our second conversation is with the shepherd John. Of all the disciples, John may have well been Jesus' closest friend. John was the only disciple at the cross, and it was John who Jesus trusted his mother to. John's gospel is the most personal in nature. And John makes it very personal for us. And the heart and core of John's message is that the Good Shepherd calls us by name. I'll read the verses from John 10. He calls his own sheep by name. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Years ago, there was a song where the singer kind of complained. He said, I feel just like a number. Have you ever felt like that? Just like a number. It starts with a social security number, and it keeps on going from there. And so often when we see a crowd, that's exactly what we see. We see a crowd. We see people, not persons. We see a herd of humans, flock of faces, not the Good Shepherd. To Jesus, every face is different. To Jesus, every face tells a story. Every face has a name. Jesus knows your name, and he will never forget it. How could he? He died for your name. I lay down my life for the sheep, Jesus said. Jesus loves us so dearly, he died for us. My friends, that is reality. It is a harsh reality. The picture of the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. So peaceful, so loving, so caring, so serene. No, it's not. It's hideous. It's horrible. It's cruel. It's violent. It's bloody. It is the cross. Yet it's a loving picture. But it's also a disturbing picture. Because we know that our sins put Jesus on the cross. John tells us Jesus didn't go kicking and screaming. He went silently, willingly, lovingly. Jesus died for us. And having died for us, he now lives in us. He lives in us when we are alone. Feeling alone is emptiness. It's scary. It's sad. Studies show that 60% of men over 30 cannot identify a single person who they would call as a close friend. Most women can identify 5 to 6 close friends. But a closer look shows that most of those friendships are functional rather than relational. What does that all mean? It means many people are alone. Many times we feel, borrowing from one of Jesus' parables, many times we feel like a lone sheep walking among a herd of goats. That can be lonely. But there Jesus is. He blesses us. He blesses us with the fellowship of the believers all around us. The fellowship that we share with the fellow members here at the church. This is a bond that goes far deeper and cannot be broken. The love of God and the forgiveness of sins is that joy that keeps us together and bonds us together. And not only does Jesus live in us when we're alone, he lives in us when we are weak. On September 25th, 1919, the world's most powerful person collapsed. He had a serious stroke. Left this man paralyzed on his left side, blind in his left eye, unable to walk without a cane. On the surface, this man was a lion, powerful and strong, important. But in reality, he was weak, frail, a lamb, dependent on the one who loved him the most. Who was it? It was the President Woodrow Wilson, the 28th President of the United States. At times we may come on like a lion on the outside, but we're lambs in the inside. There are some struggles that won't quit, some fears that just don't go away, some guilt that habitually lingers, some questions we can't answer. Through it all, we can depend on Jesus who loves us most. We can depend on the Good Shepherd who calls us by name. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Our final lesson then, or interview, is with David, who really was a shepherd in his youth. In his beloved Psalm 23, David highlights how the Good Shepherd follows us. He not only leads, but follows. We'll speak the words once again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When you go for a walk, it's a lot easier going downhill than it is uphill. A calm day is so much more enjoyable than a windy day. Oh, what a revelation, huh? Well, life isn't always easy. It's not always nice. It's not always pleasant. Life is sometimes hard. Sometimes life just makes us sad. It makes us cry, especially when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For each and every one of us, we can probably remember a time in our lives when we walked hand in hand with someone we loved. And on a sunny day, we could see their shadow. perhaps your husband or your wife, mom or dad, grandpa or grandma, maybe a child or a dear friend. And then you saw that shadow again. The shadow of a coffin, an urn, a gravestone. It stinks. It hurts. It bites. And no matter how recently or how long ago, it still stings and hurts and bites. Your good shepherd is there. Not only at the head, the leader, but he's also at the end. He not only leads, he follows. And what does he follow us with? Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a surprising way to describe Jesus, that he pursues us. He chases after us. He tracks us down. He follows us with goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Jesus is not hard to find. Remember Adam and Eve there at the beginning when they deliberately disobeyed the Lord? They were hiding in the bushes, partly to cover their shame, partly to cover up their sin. But they were not hard to find. Does Jesus wait for them to come up to him? No, because they couldn't. So in love, Jesus reaches down to them. He pursues them. And that is the pattern Jesus always follows as he follows us with his word of grace. As you live your lives, remember that Jesus is out at the head. He leads. But remember, he also follows you. And what does he follow you with this? Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is your good shepherd's promise. Basically, he promises you this: I've got your back, now and forever. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your day.